I am an... That's too high, darling. I did say that. I did say that.
You made me do it, Peter.
Hello, my darlings. Hello, hello. It's me, Anna Mann, actress, singer, original voice of Optimus Prime, the character from the children's TV show Transformers. Came very close to getting that, but unfortunately I was pipped at the post in the end, which I think was a real shame. You know, it was a real shame, you know, but there you go. They obviously wanted something a little more gruff, a little more aggressive, a little more American, if I'm honest. Although, of course, the original brief was for a English actress who was a little fun, a little lightheaded, a little silly. But in the end, you know, it became more of a sort of, you know, soldier character, which was a real shame, I think. But it's fine. I mean, I'm completely over it, and I don't mean to go on about it, you know, and I don't want to go on about it, and I hope you don't either. I think it's very sad, actually. Not for me, because I'm fine, and I've done all right. You know, I mean, obviously, I'd be a lot richer now if they had given it to me, but they didn't, and I'm fine. I don't feel bad for me. I just feel bad for Optimus Prime, if anything, because I just feel like he could have really gone to... I know he did well as a character, but I just feel he could have gone to new high. Anyway, shut up about Optimus Prime, Anna. We've got a very exciting episode. We really have. We're joined by very sexy, not quite Irish, but, well, you'll see what I mean, actor called Devlin Cornwall. Real rogue, real character, very funny. The ladies love him, so do the guys. And I just think it was real, really charming just being in his presence, actually. Every second was like a gift, if you know what I mean. It really was fun. I really did love it. This episode represents the first coming together of for original material of the double act Colin and Fergus. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then that's fine. But if you do, I think there's a little bit of excitable twinging going on somewhere in your body right now, because it's been some time, and let's just say sparks fly. But anyway, do not pull back the curtain on this. We don't know where we are right now. So what I'm talking about is... The interview is coming up in a second. That was a terrible sentence, but I'm not going to edit this. Not now. It's nearly 5 o'clock. It's gone. It's 5:03. Oh, fuck. I haven't eaten for days. Anyway. So, yes, it's 5:03. Listen to the episode. Have fun. Please do keep subscribing, for heaven's sakes, and liking and reviewing and all that stuff, because it really helps and it's really lovely. And I can say, I won't say anything right now, but pretty soon the podcast is going to enter new heights of excitement. I won't go into why or what or witches, but I will just give you a little hint there that things are about to go up a level in many ways, and I'm very excited, and I hope you are too. In other news, Anna Mann... Myself, I is appearing this Friday, just 2 days, at Junkyard Dogs, Edward Street, Brighton, by the sea, which, you know, should come down and combine it with some sort of fun weekend if you wanted. Come along and see it. It's going to be the very last Anna Mann show, as in an actual Anna Mann show, until Christmas, if not the new year, because, you know, I'm going to be away doing other things. I will keep the podcast going, and I will be appearing at various festivals and gigs over the next few months, but there will not be any more actual Anna Mann cheese and sex parties or anything else or previews or anything like that for quite a while. So please do come if you want your Anna Mann fix, because you ain't gonna get it anywhere else. I just slipped into American there. That was the actual voice I used for Optimus Prime. Transform and roll out. Anyway, they didn't go for it, and I'm not going to go on about it, and I hope you don't either. Now, please sit back, take your shoes off, take your socks off, take your feet off if you can, if that's a thing you do, and prepare for when Anna Mann met Devlin Cornwall. You'll enjoy it. It's probably my favourite so far. And I love all the others, but I think this is my favourite. Enjoy. See you in a minute. Bye.
Talking to actors, trying to understand their process. We're talking to actors, yeah, they rule the world.
Hello, Devin. How are you?
Good. Listen, before we start, have you got like a plug socket or something?
Yes, I think there's one around here somewhere.
I've got like an e-cigarette.
What? An e-cigarette?
I need to charge it.
Oh, your e-cigarette, like a cigarette, but it's...
It's completely out of E.
And what does it E stands for?
Electricity.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like
a cigarette. Oh, fuck, I thought it was ecstasy.
No, I wish it was. Like,
I could imagine you doing that.
Yeah.
No, back in the day, can I just jump in here? Back in the day, this chap here did a lot of drugs.
You certainly did.
And it was a lot of fun. And it was horrible having to bring you down sometimes, though, because you would climb very high.
It was tough. It was a tough period of my life. But, you know, like, it expanded my mind, I suppose.
What?
It expanded my mind.
It expanded your mind. I thought you said it spat in your mind.
It spat in my mind.
And it did as well, I guess.
And it expanded my mind.
But yes, no,
and
let's
then it sort of, like, contracted it until it was really tiny.
Right. Like a tiny mind, and then you've slowly been growing it back to the size of an adult brain.
Trying to, but like, it's a struggle, you know?
God, I can imagine. I'm more drink than drugs, if I'm honest. I mean, I've tried everything over the years, but drink was really my thing, you know? And sandwiches. I love sandwiches.
No, I do that too.
Yeah, I mean, you can still do that, but I mean, they are. I mean, they say obesity is one of the biggest causes of cancer.
Have you ever had an open sandwich?
Well, I've opened a sandwich.
No, but like...
You mean like a packet of sandwiches?
Like, no, like an open sandwich. It comes like pre-opened.
Pre-open sandwich?
It's
Fuck, what do you mean they've opened the packet of... they've just given you a sandwich?
It's like one slice of... It's like bread.
Yeah.
It's one slice of bread.
Sure. I mean, what's a sandwich without bread?
Right, but it's only one slice.
Right.
So you got the filling on top.
Okay.
And then there's no extra slice. So it's just open.
Well, so you can see what you're getting straight away.
That's the idea.
Is that an Irish thing?
I think it could be. Yeah.
It could be, sure. Yeah. Where about an island is it from you originally?
I'm actually, this is the crazy thing, right? Yeah. I'm not actually from Ireland.
Really?
No.
But the accent's so...
I know. I just feel like in me bounds, like that's what I am.
Oh, fuck. I know exactly what you mean. I've always considered myself to be, ancestrally Irish in a sense. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I don't have any familial connection as such, but I've always felt like... You know what I mean? I have that charm. I have that the luck sometimes. Is that what you have?
Look at the Irish. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. No, I just embrace it. It's coming off you in waves. It really is.
Now, I was about 24,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm from a town called Cheltenham.
Sure. Yeah, heard of that.
I was about 24. And I came up to London.
Mm.
And I was in an O'Neill's.
Yeah, sure. They're an Irish bar.
Yeah.
Of course. I was in dancing Irish music.
There's an O'Neill's. It's on
Guinness.
Yeah, Guinness, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's on Carnaby Street. And they had like a live Irish band.
Mm-hmm.
And I was drinking Guinness. And I was drinking Jameson. And I was hanging out with Irish people. And I just thought, this is my thing. They were playing like...
Wow. You thought, this is me. This is who I am.
And suddenly I was like listening to the Pogues all the time.
Sure.
Just listening to U2. You know? U2.
Sure. So it's kind of like someone realizing they're a woman in a man's body or a man in a woman's body, you know,
right.
or no gender or whatever.
Exactly.
But you realize you're an Irishman in the body of someone from Cheltenham.
Yeah.
That must have been incredible. Is there a word for that, do you know?
I think it's like, well,
because you've been quite campaigning quite strongly for this, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah. I started up a blog.
Mm.
It's not live yet. I've been writing at it for about, like, problem is I don't have, like, my own internet because I'm always like, on other people's couches and stuff.
Oh, well, that's you, though, isn't it? Yeah, always on another... whose couch is he on this time? You know, I remember speaking to your agent, that we're like, well, he's great, he's wonderful, he's Irish, he's phenomenal, you know, especially because he's not Irish, but we never know where he bloody is.
Yeah,
you know?
So I've got me notepad.
Yeah.
And I'm always trying to get into internet cafes, you know, and get the blog going.
They still have those?
Well, this is the thing, I can't find... Do they not have them
anymore?
I don't
know, they used to. I mean, you're talking to the wrong person. I'm not internet savvy, really. But I think generally people just do it on their phones now, don't they? You should really speak to someone. Maybe go in one of those Mac stores or something.
Yeah.
Because they're really nice in there.
Genius Bar.
Yes, that's the one.
Genius Bar. Can I speak to a genius, please?
Yes, please.
Well, I'd like to start a blog.
Sure. Well, you could say you're speaking to a genius. You're speaking to a genius, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Of acting.
Was that, were you doing the Irish accent?
I was attempting it, yeah. Right. I was tickling the Irish. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Did you ever see that?
Well, we do like to be tickled.
Did you ever see my play, Tickling the Irish?
No.
Very controversial. It was really pushing the boundaries as to what you can and can't say about the Irish.
When was that?
That was 72.
Right.
So, you know, a real dark time, really. It was really pushing the envelope.
Of course, I wasn't born then.
God, no. Because you're so young, and I love that about you. You're so young, and yet you've been in so many things. Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah. No, let's backtrack a little bit. So, the Devon Cornwall story. So, born in Cheltenham.
Yeah.
Did you always know you wanted to act? Was that a...
Yeah. Well, at first I wanted to be like a footballer, you know, like every boy in Cheltenham.
Just kicking a ball around and aiming for the goal, but if you don't get it, still, you've played well, that kind of thing.
That kind of thing, just like getting the girls, earning money, all of that sort of thing.
Not a lot's changed there.
No, well.
You love girls.
Never earned
you
money.
You love girls.
Yeah, I do.
You do.
I do.
Are you seeing anyone at the moment?
Well, you know, I'm looking out over a horizon and, you know, there's a lot of options. You know what I mean?
Sure, right, okay.
You know, I'm looking at a panoramic view.
Mmm.
You know?
Yum, yum.
A lineup.
Yeah.
You know?
Wonderful.
So, you know, I'm seeing a lot of girls.
Because you've been married before.
I've been married. I've been married 3 times now.
3 times?
Yeah, 3 times.
3 times?
Yeah.
Wow. Pamela, was it Pamela?
Pamela, she was...
she was a lot older than you, I think.
Yes, she was me... when I went to drama school, she was like the head of the curse.
Of the curse?
Of the curse.
Of the curse.
The curse.
The curse.
C-O-U-R-S-E.
Yes.
Curse.
Yes, Pamela, right.
Yeah.
And was she... So she taught you... Do you feel like she took advantage a little bit there, if you're honest? Looking back, you know?
If I'm honest, like, at the time, you know, I didn't know anything. You know, when I just thought, well, here's this, like, oracle, you know?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? You look up to them.
Yeah.
You know, you see them as these gods, because they seem to hold all the keys to the castle of performance and theatre and fame. Yeah,
so she was, you know, that was a dream, you know? Like,
What, tapping your teacher?
Yeah, you know, like, it was a dream just to be around someone who knew so much about theatre and film and TV and all of that, you know.
Did she help your career after that? Did she get you?
No, I think what it was like, I was like, she saw me as like a malleable, you know, piece of plasticine.
You know, I can do what I want with this guy.
I can do what I want, I can mould him into, you know, any
What was your accent like back then?
Well, back then it was like pure Cheltenham.
Could I hear a little bit?
Well, I suppose I just sort of spoke like this.
Right.
I just sort of spoke like, you know, just like a young sort of like lad from Cheltenham.
And did you ever think you'd become Irish at any point? Was it there? Any interest?
At that point, it was not on the horizon at all.
Really?
No, it was
incredible.
That point.
You'd never loved it? I mean, were you a fan of Riverdance, for example, or something
Listen,
like that?
Listen, I didn't know. I don't think I even knew the place existed.
You didn't even know there was an island?
No, I was that naive.
Wow.
You know?
You would bless you. Lovely little Irish boy who didn't know he was
who
Irish
Who didn't
yet.
Know he was Irish.
And didn't
know
Ireland existed.
I was sheltered from it.
I can really feel for you, you know. It must have feel like a phantom limb. Do you know what I mean? There's a part of me knows that I'm from this place.
But I don't know
I can
what
feel,
it is.
Did like, you? Could you feel the place there?
I always knew there was something missing.
Sure. So you could feel this place. You were just a little lad in Cheltenham, you know, kicking a ball around, being a bit of a, you know, a bit of a geezer.
Yeah.
Driving a car, probably.
No, never learned to drive.
Right, but thinking about cars.
Driving cars, but never learned.
Right, okay, yeah, just like you. But in your mind, there was this place you knew, and there was...
I knew
there was green fields of Ireland, but you
something
didn't...
like that. You know, I fell asleep in a lot of green fields in my teens.
It must have been horrible for you to feel that, to know you had that thing, but you couldn't reach it. Like the land of Oz.
All I knew was that there was something missing in my life. You know, like, my parents thought it was like GCSEs and qualifications and stuff. And
did you get those in the end as well?
No, never. That's the thing. Everything I've achieved in my life, I've achieved on my own.
By pretending to be Irish.
I managed to, like, achieve so much, you know, without any qualifications or anything on my CV, really.
Sure.
I've managed to achieve.
What does it say on your CV? Does it just say like Irish?
It's just a... Yeah, it basically says me name, me height.
Which
and
is...
That's just a guess. I don't know.
Somewhere.
I don't know. I've never measured myself. So,
sure.
I've just put 6'10".
Approx.
I don't know. I don't know heights.
No,
I don't
mean,
know.
Well, you don't
know. What
to.
Are you? What are you? 4'2"?
I don't. 8'12"?
God, no. I could be an inch. I wouldn't know.
I don't know.
I can't tell
know.
You. And I don't get the metric system. I want to say that right now because I haven't got a clue what's going on with that. You
it's
know,
like people like these things.
I don't. I mean, but we're not about that, are we? We're about passion.
I'm not a math genius. I don't know, like, the temperature outside now. I've got no idea where that is.
I never know where to go out in a woolly jumper or just a corset. Do you know what I mean? I just don't, and I always get it wrong.
I don't have time to sit at home doing calculations, working out what I need to wear or how tall I am.
Because you're sat there thinking about being Irish. You know, and what that means, and whatever character you're playing at the time, and where they're from, and their passions, and their failings, and you don't have time to work out, you know, what 20 plus 30 equals.
No.
And we'll never know that.
Well, there's no way of knowing, really.
Well, how would you find out?
Unless you take a train
see a doctor,
to Oxford.
I don't, yeah, exactly. You know? Speak to, no. And we don't have time for that, as you say.
Fuck.
You realised you were Irish at drama school. Is that right? No, it was when you went to the O'Neills.
Which was like, it was towards the end of
it was towards the end there, yeah. Right, okay. That was the point. Did Pamela sort of hint at that? Was there any point where she sort of said in a tutorial, we love what you're doing, but could you do it Irish or anything like that?
No, nothing that I remember, you know. I just remember a lot of like, just a lot of sex, basically.
Sure. With Pamela?
Yeah.
And others?
And like most of the class.
Fuck.
Some of the cleaning staff.
Jesus.
Anywhere I could get it, you know. I've always had the ability to penetrate sort of like anything or anyone, you know, like,
sure,
you know, I've always had the ability to sort of like,
you're a seducer.
I'm a seducer.
You can seduce.
I'm a seducer.
And if you can seduce, you must seduce, you know. It's
I'm a seducer. You know?
Ask the lion not to roar, you know. Ask the mouse not to eat cheese. Ask Devon Cornwall not to seduce. It's not going to happen.
You know?
It's not going to happen. So, you leave drama school.
That's right.
You're completely Irish by this point. Committed. Was there ever a doubt of like,
once I embraced it, that was it.
Fully there.
Now going back.
And you adopted a sort of Irish family, is that right? You sort of...
That's right.
You did. It was like a twinning... Not twinning, but you know, it's like a sort of... sponsor thing or something?
Well, they were not always like fully on board, but I basically moved in with an Irish family.
Mm. Were they living in London and you got in?
That's right, they were living in like Elephant and Castle, you know, and I just sort of turned up at the door, you know. I saw them playing in a band in an Irish bar, and I was like, these are my people, you know. So
Danny Boy, was it?
I never knew the names, right. You know, like, it was just, I would just call them the O'Dials, you know.
The O'Dials.
The O'Dials.
Sure.
D-O-Y-L-E-S.
Yeah.
With an O at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I would just call them the O'Dials, and I just found myself, you know, knocking on the door and go, do you have the price of a cup of tea? You know, do you have room for a hungry Paddy.
A little Irish boy who's lost his da and his ma.
And
they took you in?
I found a way in.
Sure. Yeah, well, that's the other thing about you. If there's a way in, you'll find it. Yeah. Often to a character or to a scene.
That's true.
Sometimes literally into someone's house.
Yeah.
So you've got a family now. The old family ditched. Fuck that. You've moved on. Am I right? Yeah, sure.
No, I haven't seen my... As far as I'm concerned, they're not, like... They don't exist, you know? They're not on my radar.
Yeah. Well, they're not Irish, so... They don't understand...
Don't make sense!
And they've repressed
you. It wouldn't make sense!
They've repressed you for years, not letting you be Irish. They didn't even tell you where you were from, mentally, you know?
They ignored it.
They abused you, really. I mean, let's not beat around the bush.
It's abuse.
But you then moved on. Then you got your first big acting role. Would you like to talk briefly about that?
Sure.
That was theatre, I think, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, it was theatre. Do you know the shopping centre in Bromley?
Yes, I think I bought 3 pairs of tights and a baguette.
Right.
Yeah, last time I was there, they'll sell all of that. So you went in, so you were in the shopping centre. And what was it? Was that just... So you started off in a little play in the shopping centre. I think that was called Whose News Was that Who's News?
It's him.
And it was a sort of review of the news. Was that right?
That's right. It was basically, the idea was that for some reason, like, it was decided, it was like funded by the government, and it was decided that the people at Bramley had
There's a shock. Yeah, right, you know, well, try and get some money off the government nowadays and you're fucked. You know? I'm always banging on that door.
Back then it was like the late 90s and there was a lot of money around in Bramley particularly, you know, and it was decided that the people at Bramley, like, they didn't know what was going on in the news. So the best way to get the news to them was to do like a play every day, and every day the news would be different. It would be based on what was going on in the news that day.
Wow.
And we would just sort of...
And was this in Bromley? They didn't have TV or radio?
I think they did. They were just like, it was, you know, Big Brother was big at the time, and, you know, they were watching that and they weren't watching the news.
Travelling band of players, let's set up our stage and...
That's
and
right.
Show them the news.
And show them the
Make
news.
Make them see what's going on out there.
What's going on out
and
there?
And what was going out there? Who did? Because you've got a range of voices, I know that. And who did you play?
Right, I would play, so this was like the late 90s.
99, was it? 98?
Yeah, 98, 99. So, you know, the Blair government was in, you know. And I would play all of the, like, the members of the cabinet, you know.
Frank Dobson?
Frank Dobson. You know, Mal Mowlin, you know, Jack Straw, Gordon Brown, and I would play all of them, but all of them Irish.
Right. So was it essentially your, the voice that I'm hearing now?
Yeah, I would do this voice, because I felt like for something to be like relatable, you know, it's got to be true, and my truth
so it was,
is that
it was,
I'm Irish.
It was Devon's Tony Blair. It was Devon's Frank Dobson. Do you know what I mean? It was not accurate. It was not authentic. It didn't sound like them, but you could see a Tony Blair in there.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
You
could,
know.
Could I hear your Tony Blair?
Okay, so...
I'm excited about this. Go
yeah,
on.
No, I'll do
Let's
it.
Hear it.
You know,
I can still do it.
My government's priorities are education, education, education.
Wow. Now, the listener probably can't see, but what I'm looking at is essentially Tony Blair is sat across from me, right? It's bloody weird, actually, and it's not Tony Blair as he is now.
Today is not a day for sound bites, but I can feel the hand of history on my shoulder.
Now, as I say, unfortunately, listening at home, you're just going to hear the same accent, but what I'm seeing is Tony Blair, if he was Irish. Could I hear Jack Straw quickly?
Jack Straw, I'm trying to think of one of his lines now.
Just try and get into him. We'll just say something like, "Hello, I'm Jack Straw."
Okay,
now
he
was he Minister of Fun, was it?
Home
Secretary
for a while.
Yes.
Yeah, so it would be.
So was there a Minister of Fun?
I don't know. I never kept up with the news.
Yeah,
you know, we had like someone in the company whose job it was to.
So he'd watch the news, tell me what happened.
He would watch the news and then tell us what was going on.
And it was called Who's News? And
Whose News was it?
His news?
It was his news. Because what he did is he had access to the news. The guy who was like directing the show.
How was that? Just
he had like at his mother's house, he would record the news.
Wow.
On VHS.
Wow.
But he was a few weeks behind, so we'd always be performing news from like a few weeks behind.
So it was kind of giving the people the news that had happened as it was happening,
but
like, in a way they wouldn't get from their TV and radio, but at the same time...
Sort of
six or seven weeks later.
Delay, yeah.
Yeah. And could you feel that palpable difference in the community after doing it? Do you think it helped... Do you think they came away more aware of what was going on in the world and how to make it a better place?
I'd like to think that they did. You know, I'd like to think that there can really make a difference. You know, if you were to like go down there, you know, and try and measure it, I don't know that you'd be able to.
Well, what would you measure it on?
Exactly.
How do you measure someone's heart?
Yeah.
Other than weighing it, you know?
I mean,
no one's going to let you do that.
That's when we lost the funding, is they said, you know, there's no... palpable sort of like there's nothing we can record here where it's made any difference at all to the community.
For fuck's sake, it just makes me so angry. Do you know what I mean? How do you record a soul? Does that make sense? Theatre changes the world. You know, I've seen theatre make a blind man get up and walk. You know, that's how powerful it can be. It really is.
Yeah.
Oh, did you get angry with them? Did you have a word with them?
I would like. I remember like the day that we.
Just want to throttle some people. Do you know what I mean? Because I just want to say, look, there's all these people out there, you know, who are in poverty, impoverished situation. They're fighting. There's drugs. We're here trying to change all that, and we can do it.
They're not taking
like
the
that. I know, if but you they will, they won't. If you'll just give us, you know, a couple of £100,000 to do it.
Yeah, and if you'll come and see the fucking play,
Jesus,
you know,
it's just so obvious to me. Do you know what I mean? It's when I see, you know. When I watch, turn on the television, I see what's going on, you know, in the Middle East, when I see what's going on in other places, you know, I just think there is an answer here, right? There's an answer here in my bedroom. It's called The Complete Annotated Works of Bill Shakespeare. Do you know what I mean?
And they'll just, like, commission you
oh,
to get down there and put on a show.
It just makes me so angry, you know, because I just think it's there. It's I've got it here. Just give me the airfare. Put me up in a really good hotel. Feed me a lot. Give me some drink. Let me bring all my friends over.
Bring an SM and ASM.
I'll solve your bloody...
front of house.
Yeah, sure. Maybe a programme. You know, stuff like that.
Props and costumes.
Bit of merchandise afterwards. Popcorn. And I will...
ice cream in the interval.
If you've got it. I mean, if you don't. I mean, some places might not like ice cream. I don't know. I mean, obviously we'll adapt to the culture where we are, but... for fuck's sake, give me 2 hours and a copy of The Tempest and I'll stop your bloody Middle East conflict.
I know.
But...
I don't think they want it.
I don't.
They don't, you know...
If I'm honest, I don't, because I think the answer's there and I think they're not taking it.
Well, you know, but what... The question is, you know, what makes them more money?
Exactly.
You know, is it war?
Exactly.
It's or like is it Shakespeare?
It's like the pharmaceutical companies, you know, we all know that they've got the cure to everything. They could probably cure death, I imagine... but they're keeping it away because they want to drip feed you
anodine. Dr. Theatre.
Dr. Theatre is, he's a registered doctor. Do you see what I mean? He's,
well,
I mean, not literally,
be.
But he's,
no, but he's like,
he should be.
He's got more recorded, you know, successes.
Definitely.
Than any doctor I know.
More than the NHS has ever saved anyone's life. I mean, for God's sake, I was, you know, when I got depression, I went straight to the NHS, you know, nothing. You know, I mean, it was a dentist, but still, you know, it was... no help whatsoever. And it's
the NHS.
Oh, it just makes
NHS.
Me angry. I mean, I love the NHS. Vive la NHS, you know. What's French for NHS? NHS. Do you know what I mean?
We.
But still, it's... anyway, sorry. I'm getting on my high horse. And I know, knock me off it because, you know, this horse is getting tired and it needs a drink. Yes. So, whose news is over?
It's
then
out.
You get the big break.
Funding's gone.
Couple of adverts first, I think. What was it you did? Was it?
An advert for.
Was it for Athena Photographs? Was it?
That's right.
Yeah, and that was you. That was where they'd done a twist on it, but it was a baby holding you.
That's
that was
right.
The famous.
It was like they were trying to bring like Athena into the 21st century, you know, and the whole idea was we're going to take all the photos that have made us, you know. What we are, and we're gonna
the man
do,
holding the baby.
Yeah, we're gonna put a twist on it, you know. So I was like, and I was chosen as the model. So there was,
but they did it. They put you in the arms of a baby.
They put me in the arms of a baby.
Wow,
you know, and
that's so brave.
Yeah,
I love that.
They never
got to say I love that.
They never released it, but you know, that we did like me in the arms of a baby. We did me as, you know, the famous shot of the lady playing tennis.
Yes.
She lifts up her skirt.
Yes. Bit of a cheeky one. I love that.
We did that with me, but like, I was playing like badminton. And I lifted up my skirt.
Yeah.
You know.
But you'd actually.
I'd shat myself.
You'd, oh.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. Well, we just try and make
I
it
love
dark,
that.
You know.
Turning it on its head a bit. Do you know what I mean? And just going, actually, you know all that stuff we did before? We're going to turn that on its head and,
does
you know
it.
What I mean? You won't see this one coming.
Yeah.
But it didn't sell, sadly.
Didn't sell,
no.
You know.
No.
Just, but that's fine, you know.
Well, sometimes people don't want brave. Sometimes people want ordinary, you know.
Some jobs you just do them for the money, you know.
Some people don't want their face shoved into the grinder, you know, into the cheese grater and say, look at this, you know, this is...
very few people.
Hardly anyone nowadays is willing to shove their face in the grinder of experience
and
truth. But then the big break.
Yeah.
The movies. Did you go to Hollywood? Did Hollywood come to you? What was it? I mean, were you...
I went to the cinema.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know.
Was it the first time?
Yeah, first time.
I mean, that's incredible for a start. Yeah, it was so, bless you. I mean, didn't know Ireland was
didn't
there.
Know didn't know Ireland existed.
Even though you knew you were Irish on some level. Didn't know there were cinemas, even though you wanted to become a film actor.
I know, it's sort of not really believable that there'd be
it's
a person.
It's completely far-fetched.
Is there be a person like this?
It's not. It doesn't. I mean, it's not, but that's why it's so wonderful, really, and shocking.
Yeah.
What was the first movie then?
The first movie that I saw, it was Fried Green Tomatoes at the Whistle Stop Cafe.
Oh, what a title.
Is that what it's called?
What a title. I don't think I ever got to the end of the title, in all honesty.
No, I didn't.
I got to Fried Green. I didn't even get to tomatoes.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre. But it blew you away, did it? You knew that's what you wanted to do?
Blew me away. The size of the screen.
Yeah. Yeah.
The
size
of the screen.
You just see more TVs, your average.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're there. Fuck, you must have thought you'd
fallen into a film. The size of these people.
They were massive.
I don't know, where are they finding these people?
What were you thinking they were? Giants or something?
Yeah, I was like, I was none the wise. I was just like, I gotta get out of this place, Hollywood, if this is the size of people there.
Oh, so it wasn't that you wanted to be in films. It was that you wanted to be around massive people.
Huge.
And how did you feel when you got to Hollywood? And
yeah, I made my way over there. And it was a rude awakening, you know. Just I felt like I'd been lied to, you know.
Sure, everyone's just the same height as you. Some of them even smaller.
A lot of them are smaller.
Oh, God.
A lot of them are smaller. Tom Cruise.
How small is he?
Like I said, I don't know heights.
Right, so if you were to compare it to an animal?
I'd say he's about the size of, like a small bear, you know, like...
Koala?
Koala bear.
That's really small.
Yeah, he's small.
Wow.
You know, you could fit him in. You could fit him in your hand luggage. You know.
Wow.
Yeah, you stick him in the overhead.
Well, I heard that's why he'd done so well, because they could just get him around easily.
So cheap.
You're just saving so much money.
It's cheap. The amount you save on like fuel.
But you got straight into Hollywood, and you got straight with an agent, is that right? And straight in a movie. I mean, that doesn't happen often, I hope.
No,
you probably didn't even realise that, did you?
No, I was really lucky, you know.
And that was a racing film or something. Was it racing?
That's right.
Was it?
It was, yeah, it was a racing
cars,
film.
Greyhounds?
It was a movie about a greyhound who drove cars.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
For Disney,
was
it?
It was like just... It was just speed.
Oh, wow.
And I played his trainer.
So you're training the greyhound?
I'm training the greyhound to drive
and then
the car.
You're training and is the idea that you've suddenly had this idea and you're going to change? Do you start as a greyhound trainer or as a car driver?
I'm like this grizzled old Irish drunk, you know.
Wow. Because you were only 24 at the time.
I was only 24. But
sure,
yeah,
and I hope you don't take this the wrong way, you've got a really old face.
I know. This is the thing that's been good to me, you know. Like,
yeah.
It's a very, very, very old face.
Mm.
You know, with a lot of pockmarks and...
There's some massive holes there.
Yeah.
Massive holes. Genuine, I can see a bit of your teeth through one of them.
I know, I'm like basically, there are parts of my face where you can sort of see the light shining through from the other side.
Looks like you've been shot through there or something. But at the same time, somehow you're so incredibly handsome. I don't know.
I know, it doesn't add up, you know.
What is it? Is it just we look at you and you go, he's seen some stuff.
Because
he's had some spots.
Because I have, you know, I have seen some stuff. Like, for example, I've seen a movie or two.
And that comes off in waves, I have to say. So you did this wonderful film. The Greyhound Racer, which was great. And I found it very funny, I have to say. What was it like working with the dog? How was he? Was he all right?
It was good. Because at that stage, I'd never, I didn't know about dogs. You know?
You didn't know about dogs, huh?
No.
You didn't know about Ireland, movies, or dogs?
No. No, I didn't, I didn't have time
You were too busy, sure.
I was too busy, you know? Yeah. I didn't have time to learn the animals and all that. So dogs is one, you know, I knew about some animals, but dogs was one I hadn't come across yet.
Right.
So it was just great for the whole time I was like, this guy's walking around on four legs.
Yeah.
You know, I was just blown away. I thought it was hilarious. I knew it.
Because you are laughing in every single scene of that film.
I know, it was just like, look at
like uncontrollably. And it's very hard to hear what you're saying, actually, a lot of
the time. Well, you know, it'd be like, he'd run around and he'd be like,
Sure.
And I'd be like, look at the way this guy's breathing.
What's he doing? Well, his body was like, why isn't he saying anything?
And he had like this, I found out as like time went on, it's called a tail.
Mm.
You know, he had this like thing.
Oh, yeah, hanging off the back.
Hanging off the back of his ass, you know, like. And it's wagging around. They call it like wagging. It's like shaking.
You had no idea what that was.
No, no. And like, we'd be all like in, you know, like the catering like truck, you know. Mm. And we'd be all sitting there with a plate. Eating like, you know, whatever the caterers had, you know, like, you know,
lasagna,
spaghetti bolognese,
macaroni cheese, spaghetti, as long as it was
like a lamb curry or something.
Oh, right, okay, sure.
You know, like any, you know,
yeah, yeah, well, cheese and biscuits, even, you know, yeah.
We'd all be eating that, and then he'd be out with the side,
mm?
Eating from a fucking bowl. Do you know what I mean?
I was like, what is this, one of the extras? What, who is this?
Like, I just never seen the like, he was like, wow. Just on the ground, eating just like, they would like crack it out of a tin. Do you know what I mean? The guy just ate from a tin, like just.
And you got quite. I remember because I heard there was a moment where you got really aggressive with the caterers because you were sticking up for this guy.
You're treating him like he's like not like the star of the movie or something. You know, like.
I mean, there was that massive equity case off the back of it, which you started.
I was like fighting for his rights.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
how did
we
you
were
feel?
All in like a trailer.
Yeah.
We all had like a trailer each on the set, and this guy like. They're shipping him around in a fucking cage.
And you find out he's not even getting paid.
He's got this, like, I guess it was like his agent or something, like, who's always with him.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it, you know.
Just back off him, leave him alone.
And they're taking the check.
Wow.
You know?
And he's got no idea. Well, good on you for defending him. Well done, actually.
I was fighting for his rights.
No, well done. Well, I don't think people do that enough, I've got to be honest. And you got it horribly wrong. And obviously, it, you know... You
no, lost. It turned out it was just a howl of a species and you don't really need to, like, care about them.
Mm. So, and since you've discovered that, do you still treat dogs well, or...?
No.
No,
because, like, it turns out they're just, like, just fucking animals.
Then, of course, we were looking at hit after hit after hit. For some reason, they loved you just laughing all the way through a film. And you did about four or five films where it was just you giggling to yourself, wasn't it?
That's right. Just laughing at like everything around
different,
me.
New things you'd learned.
You know.
So there was dogs, there was Ireland. There was one point where, wasn't there one with a plastic bag that was sort of being blown around?
That's right.
You were the original in American Beauty. Fuck, that was it. That was going to be you, wasn't it?
Well, I was in the one, they made it.
Yeah.
Obviously, the one that seems to have stood test of time is the remake, you know.
Oh, you were in the original?
I was in the original one.
Wow.
We shot it in somewhere in Eastern Europe.
Mm.
And we shot it and then they remade it with Kevin Spacey.
Mm.
You know, I mean, now they're regretting that was the one
sure,
that they pumped the
definitely.
Money into.
I bet they wish they kept your one, for God's sake.
I know.
But there was that scene with the plastic bag, but you're just giggling at yourself.
I'm just giggling around. Just like,
because you've never seen
it. Look at this thing flouting around.
What?
You know, just laughing at it. Look, it's just blowing in the breeze.
And I understand you were really trying to get fighting for the rights of the bag at one point as well.
That's right, because like they're just blowing this guy around. Mm. They're just blowing him around. Just
blowing him in the air.
You know, like back and
no
forth.
Harness, no safety, no stunt.
No, like there was nothing. Absolutely
you
nothing.
Must have been furious.
It's like flowing.
And
was
I
like,
yeah, sorry.
I was just like, I can't believe you can do that to a guy, you know, to break his back. You know, and then...
If he hits that ground, he's going to... There's no safety mat.
No.
There's nothing.
There's absolutely nothing. It was just floating around in the sky with a wind machine blowing him back and forth. Turns out, I find out later, it's an inanimate object.
Mm.
You know,
yeah. It's just a bag you carry things in.
It's just a container, really. Mm. Yeah. And you can't feel anything.
Mm.
But at the time, I'm just... You can see
it's
me...
It's not even a dog, is it?
I know.
Sense,
you can see me
it.
In all the shots just going, what the fuck
screaming.
Is going on?
Yeah, yeah. Just
what the fuck is going on?
Because to you, it was a horror. You were seeing... You were probably thinking, fuck, is that me next?
Well,
you know?
That's the thing.
Jesus. It must have been... But I think that's why you're such a good actor, if I can say it. You're such a good actor because you... An actor acts. He doesn't think. Often he can't think. He can only respond, he can only act to what he sees. And the fact that you know it appears almost nothing
right.
just gives you this performance where you're just reacting to everything like it's
It's incredible to watch. It really is beautiful to see.
I had a director tell me that I'm like a blank canvas, you know. I'm just empty.
There's nothing going on upstairs.
I'm an empty vessel. And so, I had to ask him, I didn't know what a vessel was.
What's a vessel?
But apparently, I'm...
And also, you didn't know what a director was, of course.
I didn't know. I was like, why is this guy keep on telling me what to do?
Yeah. Was it just kind of like, I'm doing my job here, pal. You know, you...
You know. It's just a series of fucking instructions.
Yeah. You know? I'm not an IKEA flat pack.
I'm not a flat pack.
No. Which you didn't know what that was, either.
What is a flat pack?
Oh, a flat pack is... So if you want a table, a chair, a wardrobe... Any of those ringing a bell?
Chest of drawers.
You've seen a table. Well, this is a table. The microphone is on the table. So this might come from a place called IKEA in a flat pack, and then you build it yourself. So it's flat. You open it out, and then you build it.
And when you're expected to build the thing?
Yeah. That's the whole idea. You know, it's putting the agency into your hands. You know, you can decide, which is very exciting, I think.
But this is a popular idea, is it?
Oh, people love it. You've got to go to IKEA. I'd love to see. You know what I'd love to do? Strap a camera to your head and push you into IKEA and just see what happens.
Commission it. Let's do it.
There's going to... Wow, yeah. And then just recently, of course, so you had that dip where you didn't get much work. And was that because you knew what most things were? So you weren't really responding?
I think, like, my thing was, like, disappearing. You know, the thing that made me special was... The more I learned, the less good I was.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is why I started taking so many drugs.
Sure. So to try and
just
give you...
Just to knock it back down, you know? Like, just...
Right. To try and get your brain... Get really shrunk. Really stupid.
Small as I could get it.
So that, once again, you're like, fuck, what's that? What's that?
Absolutely empty.
Love that. I love that. And now you're back, I understand. You've just done a wonderful period drama.
That's
about
right.
About Ireland.
That's right.
The troubles,
which I'm like...
I mean, that you're all over that.
I don't know what... Like, the troubles apparently was a big thing.
Mm.
You know?
So have you researched Irish history since you decided you were Irish?
I decided it's best. The less I know, the better. So...
Why is that?
Well, like I say, I mean, like we've been saying for the last 10 minutes, you know, it's still...
Your reaction. Yeah, okay. But I mean, generally in life, you haven't researched... You decided to become Irish, but you didn't bother to look into what that
entailed
or anything of that nature.
No.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Wow, so what's it called, the Troubles film? It's called...
What a Terrible Time We're All Having.
Oh, What a Terrible Time We're All Having. And they did, didn't they, some of them?
That's right. That's how
they had a terrible time.
And the Troubles, whatever that is.
I can imagine. It must be really moving for you.
Well,
connecting to your...
Connected to my
roots.
Heritage, you know.
Your imaginary heritage.
It was just, like I say, I don't know the details, but it was just such a troubling time.
Mm.
You know, it was just really troubling for everyone involved.
I can imagine.
You know, but like I say, I don't know the details.
Everyone just felt troubled all the time.
It was just like, it was just so many troubles, you know. Everyone was just waking up every day and they just had trouble, you know. Like,
God, I can relate to that, you know.
Worse, you know.
Out of coffee, you know, stuff like that, you know.
You know, like your knees giving you...
My knees giving me a bit of jip. I've got a gammy leg still.
Yeah.
You know. Sue Clinch has come around again. Fuck. All the Weetabix is gone.
Right.
You know, because of her. No, I can appreciate that. No,
so
it sounds really fascinating,
just a time
actually.
When everyone's just had loads of troubles.
Wow. Well, good luck with that. Best of luck.
Thanks very much.
Devon Cornwall, it's been wonderful to chat to you. Thank you so much for coming in.
Absolute pleasure.
Okay, now remember, just head on out through the door there. That's the door over there.
Want me to go now?
When you're ready. Yes. That's the end.
Right, but...
What?
No, you want me to go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Well, there you go. What a guy. What a guy. Not Irish, but... pretending to be and making a career out of it. Good on him. Well done. And of course, that was brought to you by the wonderful Fergus Craig, who I have had many dealings with in the past. And it was genuinely wonderful to be back in the saddle with him, if only for 45 minutes or so. And if you want to find out a bit more of Fergus Craig's fun stuff, have a little look for Tips for Actors, which is a wonderfully funny, silly and very accurate, sadly, depiction of life as an actor. That's on Twitter, and there's also a wonderful book all about it, I think he might be working on a second, so good for him. And also, just Google the guy. You'll find tons of stuff out there, and all of it really quite funny. Now, I'd just like to say a nice thing, because I like ending on nice things. There is another little GoFundMe thing. My old friend, Alex Rastin, her mum passed away, who was a lovely lady and looked after me when I was younger. And Alex is jumping out of an aeroplane to try and raise a little bit of money to for charity in honour of her lovely mum, Gail, who was, as I say, an absolute legend, really was a wonderful person. So if you're feeling generous, please do. Her name is Alex Rastin, or Alexandra Rastin, R-A-S-T-I-N, and it's Campaign for Pulmonary Fibrosis Trust. It's a very good cause. If you would like to fund her, if you're feeling generous, please give Alex a pound or two, because she's a good soul, so was her mum. Or give her more than that, please. But I just like when someone does a good thing to spread it out there. And on that note, I'd also like to say hello to Hattie Heath. I'm not sure if that's her real name. She put a lovely review on the Apple podcast. And I'm not just saying it's lovely. You know, I'm not just bragging here, and I'm not bragging here, but she's put some really nice stuff that she suffers from really bad anxiety. This is her go-to to calm down. That may seem a bit much, but it's simply the power of comedy. Nothing matters when listening to it. And it honestly, I read that and I actually burst into tears, or a tear at least, but it did genuinely make me sniffle and whiffle. You know, stuff like that keeps you doing this stuff, doesn't it? You know, if people say a nice thing, as in it's a nice thing for them, I don't mean a nice thing about me, but that's what keeps us going. That is why we do it. Anyway, my darlings, I am Anna Man, and I will see you through my tongue and into your ear. Oh, that sounds horrific, but you will hear me again next week when we will be chatting to our next guest, whoever that may be. I think it's going to be David Edwards. Woo, that'll be fun. All right, my darlings, I love you. Bye.
This was a Sue Clinch production for Anna Man. Nah.